All right, we want to welcome everyone to our Wednesday evening Bible study. We are going to be looking at Matthew 25, and there is a whole lot here to look at. There are three basic sections in Matthew 25. The first one is the parable of the 10 virgins. The second one is the parable of the talents. And the third one is the historical event of the judging of the nation. Some people call it the sheep and goats judgment. So the thing I want to stress to start out with is that these three, the two of them are parables, and one's a historical event. These three sections are interconnected, and they also happen at the same time, same time period. If you don't look at it in terms of when it is happening and who it is happening to and what is going on at that time, you'll likely come up with a wrong interpretation, and many people have. I don't know if I'll be able to get through all this and make the point that I want to make. It might take a second session, but we'll go ahead and get started, and we're going to look in detail at these the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, or some say the parable of the 10 virgins. He says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." Okay. Now, 2 weeks ago, we studied Matthew 24. And toward the end of Matthew 24, we were looking at the second coming of Christ. Not the rapture, but the second coming of Christ. And this is the time period that we are looking at. And there's that first word, then. And so you could say, at that time. What time? The time toward the end of the tribulation period, right before the second coming of Christ. It says they took their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Christ. The church is the bride. The church has been gone for a while. We have been raptured before the tribulation period started. And so these 10 virgins are not members of the church. Even the five wise ones are not members of the church. These would be people who would still be alive during the end of the tribulation period. Now, Bible scholars will tell you that, you know, we had the wedding between the bride and the bridegroom sometime during the tribulation period, but it was up in heaven. But the millennial kingdom, which follows the tribulation, you have the tribulation, you have the second coming, and then millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom is actually the wedding supper or the wedding banquet. When you see a parable about the wedding banquet, it's about the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year kingdom. So the wedding has already taken place, and they're going out to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom, after the wedding, comes. And when he arrives, then they have like a little parade down through town, and the bridegroom takes them to where the dinner is going to be, okay, the banquet's going to be. So this is going to determine who gets to go into this banquet or who gets to enter the millennial kingdom, okay? Now, you really need to know that background to understand what's going on here. Now, the other thing I want you to know before we get into it is they're going to be talking about oil. Oil for their lamps. Oil, in parables especially, symbolizes the Holy Spirit. So, okay. It says, "Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." Now, they had oil in their lamps, but they didn't take an extra supply of oil. Okay. It says, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." So they had containers, they had vessels. They had an extra container of oil, but the five foolish ones didn't. But they did have oil in their lamps. And well, we know that because as we read on, we'll find that out. It says, "But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept." So they're not keeping watch. It says, "And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." because it's midnight. They need to use their lamps so they can see. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Okay, so if their lamps were going out, that means they were lit at one time. And so they are losing the oil that was in their lamps. It's being consumed. It's being totally consumed. It says, but the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now, we know this is not talking about the church. This is talking to people who would have been living toward the end of the tribulation period. And he's telling them, keep watch. We, as members of the church, don't have to keep watch. Whether the rapture occurs in the next 5 minutes or the next 5 or 10 years, we're saved, we're secure, we're saved by grace either way. He's not going to overtake us like a thief. Okay.
And we don't have to keep our oil either.
And we don't have to keep our oil. And I'm glad you said that, because, and this is something that is very controversial, but in my opinion, this is by far the best way to explain all these verses. Many people will say that during the tribulation period, people are going to get saved just like people have always gotten saved. I cannot agree with that, because the church age, which started at Pentecost and will end at the rapture, is called the Age of Grace. After the church is taken out, the Age of Grace is over. And it would appear from these verses that for a person to be able to qualify to go into the kingdom, and they will go into the millennial kingdom as regular fleshly people, mortal people, they won't have glorious bodies. The question is, are they going to be able to go into the kingdom, or are they going to be rejected? And so he's saying what happened here was these five ran out of the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you do that? Well, my theory is that they have to maintain their faith. They're not under grace anymore. They missed that opportunity. Now they have to maintain their faith. And whereas members of the church, you know, works do not save us, but works should follow us. Works should accompany salvation. In this case, though, it's their works, it's their behavior that reflects their faith that's going to, when they are judged, is going to determine who gets to go into the millennial kingdom and who doesn't.
It was the same way, wasn't it, in the Old Testament?
Yes.
They had to maintain their faith.
They had to maintain, and it said Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. His faith was. It didn't mention grace. Mm-mm. Grace is for the church.
Right.
Okay, now I think we can keep going here and it'll start making sense. So now we have the parable of talents. Okay. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, this would be Jesus, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things and enter into the joy of your Lord. So let's stop right there for a second. We've talked about this before, where we believe that people who will be going into the new kingdom, many of them will be serving Christ and reigning with Christ. And we will be involved in that too. But right now, he's still speaking to these people that are in, representing people in the tribulation period. He says, he also who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. This would be part of reward. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So this shows here that he doesn't understand. He doesn't have a good impression of who the Lord is. He doesn't get it. He said, and I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. So he didn't do anything with his ability, his talent. He didn't do anything with it. He didn't lose it, but he did not do anything with it. It did not profit. It says, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. So he's wicked, he's lazy. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. In other words, I could at least got the interest off of it. He says, so take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Now, why would he give it to the one who has 10 talents?
Because he done the most with his.
Yeah, because he knew what to do with it. He was very wise. He invested it. He used it. Says, you know, if I give it to him, he's going to do something with it. Mm-hmm. Says, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast thee, now this is the important word, unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, so if we're thinking, all right, what time is he talking about here? When does this take place? Well, this last section we're going to be reading is the judgment of the nations, which is the sheep and goats judgment, which happens right after the second coming of Christ. So we know, we already talked about the 10 virgins and how it's set up right before the millennial kingdom. It's set up right at the end of the tribulation period. So that section is at the end of the tribulation, right before the second coming. This section is right after the second coming when he's judging people. And so this middle section we just read is right between the two. So it should be, again, in that same time period. It doesn't involve the church. But it involves those people who are in the tribulation period.
So would you say then this last guy, he didn't have any faith?
He did not have faith. He did not understand the master. He didn't understand who represented Jesus.
Right.
And because of that misunderstanding, he did not put out any energy. He did not have any works. He did not, you know, do anything at all. He just took it and he just put it off to the side and didn't do anything with what God had given him.
Now, can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
I know where this is at. I know where we're at as far as, you know, we're all order, you know, rapture and blah, blah, blah. But could we not use this for our own selves as of today?
Yes. I mean, I've heard a lot of preachers preach on these things and preach about the lesson learned. And yes, you can apply it to
because
there.
Because of the rewards, you know, we receive rewards. If,
right.
You know, we do
you can apply it to that, okay. but if you don't do it in the right way, people might get a misunderstanding that it's the church when it's not.
I got you.
No, okay. Uh-uh. Now, as we get into this last section, it's going to also help explain the second section. Okay. So it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, okay, this is obviously the second coming. And all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Mm-hmm. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he'll set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. You want to be a sheep, not a goat. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, why? This is the question. Why are they inheriting this kingdom? He says, because I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Now, when Jesus is talking to people within the church that are saved, he'll say, or talking to people who are thinking about becoming saved, and they'll say, what do we have to do to inherit the kingdom of God? He says, believe on me. Just believe me. Mm-hmm. Believe in me is what he says. Here he doesn't say that. He says, you will inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world because or for all these reasons. Because you did these things to these other people. And by doing it to these other people, you were doing it to me. These are behaviors. These are things that people did. These are works. Okay? Now, let's keep going. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Okay, that sounds a lot like the weeping and gnashing of teeth, what happened to the unprofitable servant there in the second section. He says, For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So, if we compare that to what happened here in the second section of the talents, again, these people are being judged. Their criteria is what kind of works did they do? What was their behavior? During the tribulation period, all these people are going to be oppressed. And, you know, after the mark of the beast, they're not going to be able to buy or sell. And so they're going to have to get together, meet secretly, trade with each other, have gardens, you know, grow crops, whatever. And they're going to have to do it. If they get caught, they'll be executed. They'll become the martyrs that we saw in Revelation. And so all these people have to stick together and help each other out. And if they refuse to help somebody, they might say, I'm not going to help you. If I get seen with you or whatever, they'll kill me, or I don't want to take the chance. I don't want to come out of where I am, you know, whatever reason they might have. But they choose not to help these people. And Jesus is saying, by not helping them, it's the same thing as not helping me. Mm-hmm. But the point to understand here, if you don't understand the timing, if you don't understand the background, you're going to look at this and say, well, where's salvation by grace? How come these people have to have works in order to be saved, right? But if you understand that the church isn't even involved here, the church is already in heaven, the church has been raptured years before. Not talking about the church, this is a totally different situation, and you have to understand that. These people that lived in the tribulation period had to maintain their faith. They had to maintain it. That's the lesson of the 10 foolish virgins, or the 10 virgins, 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. The lesson there was they had to maintain their faith. They had to keep their supply. They couldn't run out of the Holy Spirit. Apparently, some of them were not living the lives they should have, which is why the Spirit itself, in a sense, ran out. They didn't have enough faith. And because of that, they weren't alert. Because of that, they missed their opportunity. So then we have the parable of talents, where people were given resources and abilities, and they used them, and they were rewarded for being profitable. They were rewarded for maintaining their faith and doing the things that a faithful person would do. But the one who had no faith and didn't even have the right perception of who Jesus is, that person was called unprofitable, and was judged, and he would have fit right in with the goats of the last section. He would have been cast out because his faith did not stay true. He did not do anything for Jesus. Now, contrast that to somebody saved by grace, who maybe they're saved on their deathbed, or they're saved, and then 5 minutes after they're saved, they get killed in an accident or something. They have no works. They're unprofitable. They haven't done a thing. But they're still saved because of grace. And that is the big difference here. Here, this man did not produce anything because he did not have faith, and he's cast out. And then again, in this last section, in the sheep and goats judgment, the sheep did help people. They did put their neck on the line by helping other people in a perilous situation. And Jesus said, by helping them, you're also helping me. And like to what you said before, yes, you can look at this and make a good object lesson about it and say, well, when I'm good to other people, same as being good to Christ. And when I'm bad to other people, it's like being bad to Christ. And you can make that point, but we can't forget the background here, because if a preacher just makes that point and nothing else, people are going to think it's the church he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem.
Well, like you said, a lot of people are illiterate come to the word. But if you know your word, you know this isn't the church.
Right, exactly. But like I say, if a preacher just takes just one section and preaches on it, then they're going to say, well, then they're thinking that even people in the church have to be saved by works. And I think the percentage of professing Christians today that believe in salvation by works is a lot higher than the percentage that don't.
I do
too. Most of your denominations now is they preach salvation by works. Mm-hmm. And if you read this, you'd think, wow, sounds like they're right. But this is not the church. You know, I mean, you have to know what you're talking about. I preach grace all the time, but this is not grace.
Plus, you made it clear, too, that these sheep that go into the millennial, they go in with a natural body where we will have glorified bodies.
Yeah, that would be the big difference, right? Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's a whole other... We could spend all evening talking about that.
Yeah.
But, and this judgment, you know, the Bema Seat judgment is going to determine it. The only people that's going to be at the Bema Seat judgment of Christ are saved people. Mm-hmm. And they are going to be judged according to their works. Mm-hmm. But all these works were done for Christ. They're good works. Mm-hmm. But everybody that's at that Bema Seat judgment, they're all saved. They're all going to get into heaven. Mm-hmm. The only difference is how many rewards are they going to have. Mm-hmm. Now, the Great White Throne judgment, which is after the Millennial Kingdom, everybody there is not saved. And it's already determined where they're going to go. That's already determined.
Yeah.
They're going to the lake of fire. The question is, how intense is that lake of fire going to be for them? It's going to depend, again, on their evil works and what they did.
Okay.
But this judgment is not about that. This judgment is to determine who gets to go into the earth, the thousand-year kingdom on earth, and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that don't, they will go to hell. The lake of fire is not available yet, but it will be in 1,000 years. But they will be cast out. And so it is so important. A lot of people say, oh, why do we need to study prophecy? Well, what's the point of studying prophecy? Well, if you're not a student of prophecy, you don't know this. You just look at these verses and you take them out of context and you say, oh, okay. You must take works to get saved, you know, and that's how some of these people get these ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are a student of prophecy and you know the chronology, you know the sequence of what happens, you say, well, this can't possibly be the church. It makes sense. And there are many, many Bible scholars, you know, J. Vernon McGee is one. There's many others. Mark Hitchcock. They understand this, but they still will tell you people still get saved by grace during tribulation.
How can they?
They can't seem to break from that. They still think that you can. Mm-hmm. I don't see it, because if you could, Jesus wouldn't have said, you have to do this, this, and this. He would have just said, just believe. Mm-hmm. Because that's all we have to do.
Plus, the Holy Spirit isn't in them like he is in us.
Right. It's different. It's different.
Mm-hmm. He comes upon them like he did the Old Testament saints. Is that correct?
Yeah, rather than within them. Mm-hmm. Notice that the virgins were carrying it. You know, it wasn't within them. It was something that they carried.
That's right.
And so it's all very, very interesting. It's a new concept for a lot of people because they just always thought, well, people get saved. That's how you do it. But when you think of different eras, E-R-A-S, or dispensations, different periods of time, the period of grace, that dispensation of grace, the church is already done. Everyone who's ever going to become a member of the church has already been there. The rapture has occurred. The full number has been reached. You know, the marriage supper of the Lamb has already taken place. The judgment, the Bema Seat judgment, has already taken place. And the neat thing is, it's the second coming of Christ. It doesn't mention it in this section. It talks about his angels, but there's other places where it talks about the saints will accompany him. We will be with Jesus when he does this. It's going to be really, really neat. So, again, the thing to take from this is all three of these sections are interconnected. They all happen at about the same time, and he's making the same point over and over again. The point about the virgins is, got to keep your faith. You can't let the Holy Spirit run out on you. The point about the parable of the talents is, do not be unprofitable. Use what God has given you. Let your faith determine your actions. And then the section about the sheep and goats judgment is, again, let your faith determine your actions to help other people. By helping them, you're helping Christ. And again, all three of these has to do with looking at your behavior. And that is the way it's going to be during the tribulation period. It's going to be different. It's a totally different era, totally different concept. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we know this is a lot to take in. It's a different way of thinking of things, and many people probably would not agree, Lord, but we feel that this greatly agrees with the passages. It seems to be what the passages of Scripture are saying, and we need to look at these open-minded rather than bringing preconceived ideas with us and trying to make the Scriptures fit our preconceived ideas. We just need to read the Scriptures for what they say and come to the conclusions that you would like for us to. And dear Lord, we just thank you for the leading of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.